Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled Support Shown for Embattled CUSD Administrator. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, February 16th, 2025, and written by Ken Sain. Nearly a dozen people attended and spoke at the February 12th Chandler Unified School District Governing Board meeting to urge it to support Castile High Assistant Principal Chalamet Woodworth. The Professional Practices Advisory Committee, PPAC, of the Arizona State Board of Education recommended on January 31st that four current employees and one former staffer be disciplined for their roles in multiple complaints of a Castile High School teacher touching students in a way that made them uncomfortable. Woodworth was one of those employees. The State Board of Education has the final say on if it will discipline those educators. It next meets at 9 a.m. February 24th. A standing room only crowd packed into the CUSD meeting room, many of them attended because of the PPAC recommendations. Of the 25 people who spoke, all but five spoke about that topic. There were 15 people who supported the district and five who told the board they needed to take action to make sure this doesn't happen again. Board President Patty Serrano read a brief statement about the issue. As a CUSD parent myself, I want to assure you that every student's well-being and safety is of extreme importance to me personally, Serrano said. Your comments, input, concerns, and experiences are heard, taken to heart, and impactful to me, and I think it is safe to say to every member on our board, newly elected and returning alike, she continued. I commit to working with district staff to ensure we review these critical matters holistically and fully to include reviewing our policy procedures and communication with our community, always seeking improvement. PPAC recommended Woodworth have her certificate suspended for 1 year and that she must complete a course on grooming. Woodworth's only role in the touching case was that she interviewed at least a couple of the victims at the suggestion of her principal. He said he wanted to make sure there was not more to the initial complaint and thought the girls would feel more comfortable speaking to a woman. After the interviews, Woodworth attended a meeting where the decision was made on how to handle the matter. That is the extent of her involvement that came up in 4 days of hearings on the matter. The other educators that PPAC recommended for discipline are Executive Director of Human Resources, Dr. Jeff Falloon, 3 years suspension, must take the courses on mandatory reporting and grooming behavior. Then Castile Principal Jason Phillips, 3 years suspension, must take course on grooming behavior. Former Castile Assistant Principal Ryan Ridenour, 3 years suspension, must take a course on grooming behavior. And then Assistant Superintendent Dr. Craig Gilbert, a year's suspension, must take course on grooming behavior. Gilbert's only role in the case was that he made the decision to decline the appeal of a Title IX complaint. The district announced Gilbert will be retiring at the end of the school year. A number of the speakers were there specifically to support Woodworth. Mrs. Woodworth is more than an assistant principal to many students, said Tessa Chadwick, a senior at Castile. She is a mentor, a role model, and the driving force behind the positive culture at Castile. She invests in students, she builds connections, she listens. Michelle Swartz is a math teacher at Castile. She said the PPAC recommendation could have a chilling effect on education. It's become almost impossible to teach in an environment without fear of mental, financial, or repetitional consequences, Swartz said. I am retiring 10 years early. Educators are treated as guilty until proven innocent as allegations, blatant exaggerations, and falsehoods are adjudicated online without filters and go unchallenged. The ones who expressed concerns about the recommendations urged the board to do more training, specifically on grooming behavior. You hear a lot of praise for this district tonight, and that's fine, Leslie Kane said. More than one thing can be true. A school can have great successes and also serious failures, and when we're talking about grooming and sexual abuse of students, the community needs to hear that you take this seriously. A Castile calculus teacher read a statement that she said was written by a student who wanted to remain anonymous. So these are the words of this student, Abigail Thornton said, quote, "During my ninth grade year at Castile, I was struggling with my mental health. I was battling depression and cutting myself to cope. I was called into Mrs. Woodworth's office. She showed a genuine concern about my mental health. She made me feel cared for, validated, and made sure I was getting the help I needed. Today, I'm in a much better place mentally because of her compassion." End quote, and end of story. Our next article is entitled Woodcarvers Practice Dying Art. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune February 15, 2025. And written by Srianthi Parar. Wood carving as a hobby or profession is whittling down in this day and age, but long-standing proponents of the craft remain enthusiastic and willing to promote it. Each winter, a large showcase and competition takes place in the valley that gathers the Arizona community of artists and suppliers and invites visitors. This year, the 35th annual Desert Wood Carving Show and Sale will be held February 22nd through 23rd at Mesa Centennial Hall, where about 100 carvers will display more than 300 intricate carvings. It's a great, great hobby, and I really enjoy the relaxation and then interacting with other wood carvers. You've got a lot of good people that are willing to teach you how to get better. You know, you can learn from them, said Bobby Gray, president of the Scottsdale-based Grand Canyon State Woodcarvers and chairman of the show. Gray became interested in wood carving 21 years ago when he watched others carve. His mentor invited him to a club meeting and he was hooked. After retiring from a 36-year career in a package delivery service, carving became a serious pastime. "The more that you carve, the better you get," said Gray, whose work, quote, "Buffalo Soldier," end quote, won the best of show at last year's event in Mesa. Gray is a member of the two main clubs in the valley. The other, Tempe-based Arizona Woodcarvers Association, is headed by Mark Mosher. Gray carves with others during club meetings and sometimes at home. Club meetings double up as carving sessions. "Some people go there to carve, but then some people go there to talk and socialize," he said. "I like carving around other carvers and interacting socially. I get more out of it." David Ruscio, 91, of Tempe, is another dedicated woodworker and carver for at least 45 years. After retiring from his job in a telecommunications company, he took it up full-time. Friendship Village, where he resides, provides a space for woodworking, and he is often joined by others for regular carving sessions. He calls it an excellent hobby. "If you're doing things that have a lot of detail and stuff that takes your mind off completely of what's going on around you and in the world, because you have to concentrate on doing the detail on the project and not mess up," he said. Ruscio, who has spent 23 years traveling the country teaching classes in wood carving, is only too happy to teach others. At the time, he made a living from it as well, but now it's minimal income. Ruscio carves portraits of cowboys, American Indian chiefs, saddle makers, golfers, and other lifestyles. Christmas-themed items and animals such as bison, bears, and deer. The predominant medium is basswood, while butternut wood is also a popular choice. Carvers start with a block of a certain size depending on the project and do either a relief carving or a cutout structure. Once the basic piece is ready, carving begins. You can spend 40, 50, 60 hours or more on a subject. It depends on how big it is and how fast a carver you are, Ruscio said. Wood and tools are necessary, so are patience, time, and perseverance. Patience is important because mistakes can happen and the wood may need to be discarded midway. Certain people will come and ask you for a critique of a carving, but there's certain people that don't want a critique, Ruscio said, and the only way that you're going to get better in this game is that you need to have somebody critique that carving and you need to practice. You need to carve a few days a week. If you only do it once every 2 weeks or once a month, it's like starting all over, because you've got to get used to the tools, you've got to get used to the wood, you've got to understand that the wood slices one way and it rips and tears the other way, because of the way the grain lays in it. It's just something that people don't understand. In a technologically changing world, wood carving has been left behind, Gray said. Club membership is dwindling. Grand Canyon Wood Carvers had about 300 members in the 1970s and now has about 50. The numbers are declining because the carvers are getting older, Gray said. It's a hobby that not a lot of young people are coming into. It's how society is nowadays. Ruscio said that earlier there were at least half a dozen young people from grade and high school age wanting to learn to carve. We don't get any young people anymore, he said. They are too concentrated on the computers or their cell phones or whatever. When I went to school, we had shop classes in school. We had wood shops and we had art classes and all of that, he said. Half of the schools have done away with those classes, which I don't understand. Ruscio added that there used to be shows in Yuma and Tucson, as well as television shows and out-of-state magazines on the topic. I have not, probably in the last 15, 20 years, had a call from anybody to do an article for a magazine, he said. It's really sad. The Desert Wood Carving Show and Sale will be held from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, February 22nd, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, February 23rd at Mesa Centennial Hall, 201 North Center Street, Mesa. Demonstrations, raffles, seminars, and soap carving are some of the activities offered. Admission fee is $10 for the weekend. Parking is free. For more details, you can go to desertwoodcarvingshow.com. End of story. Our next article is entitled New McDonald's Opens in Queen Creek. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, February 10, 2025. No author is listed. The new McDonald's at Vineyard Town Center is now open. Franchise owner-operators Edward and Kayong Kapolzinski held a grand opening celebration on February 7th at the new location, 37632 North Gansel Road, on the northwest corner of Gansel and Combs Roads. Vineyard Town Center is being developed by Vestar. It is anchored by Sprouts Farmers Market, with the second anchor store, Target, expected to open in the fall. Attending the celebration were Queen Creek Chamber of Commerce local business owners and the Queen Creek 4-H Club. We've been living in Arizona for 2.5 years. We used to have 7 stores in Montana before we relocated here in August of 2022. We're very happy with our decision to move to the desert and thrilled about the growth of McDonald's in Queen Creek and the overall growth of Queen Creek, Edward Kapolzinski stated in a press release. To give back to the community, the Kapolzinskis presented a $1,000 check to the Queen Creek 4-H chapter. The Kapolzinskis are also offering free McDonald's meals at their restaurant to local fire and police personnel through Saturday, February 15th. End of story. You were listening to the East Valley News on Send Sounds of Arizona. We are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Chandler DEI Officer Unperturbed by Attacks. This was posted in the Santan Sun, February 12, 2025, and written by Ken Sain. The Trump administration has put a target on the backs of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs across the nation. Nikki Tapia, the City of Chandler DEI officer, says so far there is little controversy about her office from local residents. I am very lucky that I get to focus on DEI as it relates to the Chandler community, and so that is where I really stick to my focus, Tapia said. Tapia said she rarely hears criticism and instead hears praise for her office's efforts to include more people, even at events like the fire department's annual smoke detector check. Chandler's DEI strategic plan is the only one of its kind in Arizona, Tapia said. It won a national award from the International City County Management Association, ICMA. That was a huge, huge coup for us, Tapia said. We're starting to establish baselines. We're starting to work within all communities, our nonprofits, our places of worship, the cultural communities. There are 4 employees in the DEI department. It receives no federal funds, Tapia said. Here are some of the success stories she points to in the past year. City of Chandler began purchasing instant language assistant translation devices to place in city offices and to take into the field when needed. These devices are able to translate more than 200 languages to help citizens communicate with their government in whichever language they choose. Helped the city partner with nonprofits and Chandler Unified School District to create the Hive at San Marcos Elementary School. It's a resource center that helps connect people of all ages to online technology. It opened November 1, 2024 and had 500 visitors in its first 2 months. The City of Chandler and For Our City entered a partnership to reintroduce the Chandler Nonprofit Coalition, helping bring together the nonprofit community for support and networking. The DEI Internal Speaker Series had 13 classes that drew nearly 400 employees over the year. Some of the more popular classes included Sierra Place speaking about dealing with hearing loss and Andres Chavez talking about the enduring legacy of his grandfather, Cesar Chavez. DEI stages a number of community events throughout the year, including Chandler Contigo, Juneteenth Culture Music in the Park, Diwali, Asian American Community Connection, the Multicultural Festival, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Awards, the Regional Unity Walk, and a breakthrough Mental Heal Conference. Nearly 20,000 people attended the 43 programs and events that DEI staged in 2024. Awarded diversity education mini-grants of up to $1,000. In 2024, they were able to fund 27 grants that reached close to 9,500 students. Some of the beneficiaries included the Chinese Language Teachers Association, STEAM, Science, Tech, Engineering, Arts, and Math, Carnival for All at Arizona College Prep High School, and the Fall Festival at San Marcos Elementary School. Started an event pilot sponsorship program helping new initiatives get started that emphasize DEI. In 2024, three programs received $2,500 each. South Chandler Self-Help Teen Gauge, Archwood Exchange by Black Market, and Arizona Korean Association Korean Festival. Tapia said she checks the news daily to see what is happening on the federal level with DEI programs, but for now, she's not worried about her office's future in Chandler. Some of the challenges that we've had is just people understanding what DEI really is, she said. We have control here in Chandler, and we're going to keep moving forward. End of story. Our next article is entitled Staying Cyber Safe at Greater Phoenix's Major Events, a Guide for Attendees. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent on February 13, 2025, and written by David Norland, Chief Technology Officer, Lumify. As Phoenix gears up for its lineup of major events, including spring training games, music festivals, and others, cybersecurity experts remind attendees to stay vigilant about their digital safety. While these events promise excitement and entertainment, they also present opportunities for cybercriminals to exploit unsuspecting participants. Attendees naturally focus on their physical safety. They stay aware of their surroundings, keep valuables close, and take comfort in the presence of on-site security personnel. However, in today's digital age, protecting one's cybersecurity is equally crucial. Just as pickpockets target crowded venues, cybercriminals see large gatherings as prime opportunities to exploit unsuspecting participants. As Chief Technology Officer at Lumify, I lead a team working around the clock to secure some of Arizona's biggest events. My experts monitor cybersecurity threats 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for events like Barrett Jackson and the Waste Management Phoenix Open. This constant vigilance highlights the growing importance of digital safety at large gatherings. As a cybersecurity leader, I urge attendees to extend their vigilance from the physical world to the digital realm. The same caution used to protect a wallet or purse should apply to smartphones, online accounts, and personal information. While event organizers work to enhance overall security, individual awareness is crucial. Here are key tips to protect your digital life while enjoying Phoenix's premier events. Navigate Wi-Fi wisely. Public Wi-Fi networks at venues pose significant risks. Cybercriminals can intercept data transmitted over these networks, potentially accessing sensitive information. Use a virtual private network, VPN, when connecting to public Wi-Fi. Avoid accessing sensitive accounts or making financial transactions on public networks. Consider using your mobile data plan instead of public Wi-Fi for added security. Practice social media savvy. Oversharing on social media during events can make you vulnerable to cyber threats and physical theft. Avoid posting real-time updates about your location. Wait until after the event to share photos and experiences. Review your social media privacy settings before attending large events. Secure your mobile devices. Smartphones are prime targets in crowded spaces, both for physical theft and digital breaches. Enable two-factor authentication on all your devices and accounts. Use strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts. Keep your phone's software and apps updated to patch security vulnerabilities. Take digital payment precautions. Financial transactions at events carry risks if not handled carefully. Use credit cards instead of debit cards for better fraud protection. Consider using mobile payment apps that offer additional security features. Always check the authenticity of payment terminals before use. Stay vigilant post-event. The need for cybersecurity doesn't end when the event does. Monitor your accounts for any suspicious activity in the days following the event. Be wary of phishing emails or messages that may reference the event you attended. Report any suspicious activity to your bank and local authorities immediately. Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. By taking these precautions, you can significantly reduce their risk of falling victim to cyber threats. As you attend Phoenix's world-class events, remember that staying cyber safe is a key to fully enjoying the experience. By following these guidelines, you can focus on the excitement while keeping your digital life secure. End of story. Our next article is New Sign Coming to Queen Creek's Horseshoe Park. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, February 13, 2025, and written by Janet Pettis. A new 40-foot-tall monument LED sign is in the works for the Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center. The new sign will replace the existing 30-foot sign located adjacent to Riggs Road. It will also replace the current sign as the tallest in Queen Creek. The sign includes a double-sided 128-square-foot LED animated sign. According to town documents, construction on the sign is expected to start soon now that the Queen Creek Planning and Zoning Commission has approved a comprehensive sign plan for the center that includes the request for the new sign. The item does not have to go before the Queen Creek Town Council. I thought this was pretty excessive, but when the other one's 30 feet tall, it doesn't seem that tall. It's another 10 feet. I don't think it's going to matter too much, said Commissioner Troy Young. Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center is at 20464 East Riggs Road. Since opening in 2009, Riggs Road has become a full east-west corridor and traffic has significantly increased, as has interest in the sign from potential sponsors. Quote, the size and scope of the park, and specifically the main covered arena, warrants an increase in the height and area of the marquee sign and will be a more substantial against the mass of the 64-foot-tall main arena. A larger marquee sign will also allow for better display of the facility's name, which is a crucial piece of the branding for the park, and will help to distinguish the facility from others in the area, end quote, a staff report stated. When the Queen Creek Town Council approved the park's five-year strategic plan in 2023, it also approved a larger sign with the stipulation that town staff had to raise 50% of its cost through sponsorships. Through sponsorships, the town has raised $267,500 of the sign's estimated cost, with Earnhardt Auto Centers kicking in $124,000 as a platinum sponsor. According to the town, the cost of the new sign is $433,866, with the total cost of the project at $535,000. The town will pay the balance of the cost. Quote, Earnhardt Auto Center's Noble.com branding will be prominently displayed in the top cabinet of the new sign, end quote, the report stated. The current marquee sign at Horseshoe Park was installed in 2010 to promote events at the facility but offers limited sponsorship opportunities. The technology is not there anymore, and I can't buy replacement parts for that sign, David Solem, Horseshoe Park's general manager, told the commission. I was getting complaints that you couldn't read the sign. The new LED animated monument sign will display static images that change every 8 seconds. The sign will be illuminated 24 hours a day, but will be dimmed beginning at dusk. Quote, dimming the sign in the evening hours will reduce nighttime glare and impact to drivers and to residents south of Riggs Road. The nearest residential property is approximately 400 feet southeast of the proposed sign location, end quote, the report stated. Since 2011, Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center has nearly tripled its revenues, Solomon said. During the 2023-24 fiscal year, the center hosted 245 events with more than 216,000 attendees and 12,000 horses. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We're committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.